W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Allison Keyes. A Texas pregnant woman who had been cleared to get an abortion despite the state's near-total ban is in limbo now after the state Supreme Court put a judge's ruling in the case on hold. Kate Cox is already a mother of two, but says doctors tell her her fetus is at a high risk of miscarriage or stillbirth. KHOU-TV's Cheryl Mercedes.
A lower court granted her permission to get an abortion, but Attorney General Ken Paxton appealed it to the state Supreme Court, saying she hasn't proved her case satisfies the requirement for a medical emergency exemption. Cox's attorneys say the high court is staying the lower court's ruling until they have more time to consider the case.
The United Nations says there's a desperate humanitarian crisis in Gaza, where many haven't eaten anything in several days. The U.S. vetoed a U.N. Security Council request yesterday for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. CBS's Remy Innocencio reports.
Israel's ambassador to the United Nations actually thanked President Joe Biden, saying that a little light dispelled a lot of darkness. His allusion there was to Hanukkah, which started on Thursday. That is known as the Festival of Lights. And as for the rejection, that veto of that UN resolution for a ceasefire, that does give more cover for Israel's defense forces.
At UNLV, the Las Vegas campus is still reeling after a gunman opened fire this week, killing three professors and wounding a fourth. KLAS-TV's Sasha Loftus.
Students are still traumatized, trying to make sense of what happened.
It affects everybody, everyone that was there, everybody that wasn't there.
UNLV President Dr. Keith Whitfield echoing that sentiment of shock during a news conference Friday.
One moment that people are fine, and then the next moment it feels like they're being knocked down by a tidal wave of grief and pain.
There's some wicked weather on tap in a lot of the nation this weekend, beginning today in the Midwest and more tomorrow. Kelly Cass is at the Weather Channel.
From the Tennessee Valley back toward the Mississippi River Valley, that's where things really begin to start up. But even ahead of that, we've got showers in Atlanta that could cause a ground delay or possibly a ground stop up towards Nashville. The storms are moving in by this evening.
Holidays aren't fun for everyone. CBS's Willie James Inman.
A mental health survey by the American Psychiatric Association finds nearly a third of Americans are more stressed out this year than last holiday season. The top three sources of anxiety are affording holiday gifts, finding gifts, and the cost of holiday meals.
Just wow, Taylor Swift.
Guess I'll just stumble on home to my cats.
Her Eras Tour is the first to make more than $1 billion. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. There's a lawsuit challenging Wisconsin's near-total ban on collective bargaining for most public workers. Some say the outcome could help Wisconsin's beleaguered education workforce. Mike Moen has more.
Act 10 has been in place for a dozen years and was a major priority for conservative lawmakers. The latest lawsuit comes as Wisconsin, like other states, grapples with teacher shortages. Maddie Toff is a graduate assistant at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, who says restoring these rights could make the state an attractive place for future educators and researchers.
Having really strong education through academia as well as in public schools is really important for training the next generation, but also recruiting people.
Toff is with the Teaching Assistants Association, a union that is among the plaintiffs in the case. The controversial law has been able to stay in place despite past efforts to have it thrown out. The state's teacher turnover rate has climbed from 8% in 2010 to more than 15% in the last school year. Tuff says at the graduate student level, she and her peers are very passionate about what they're studying. She feels not having the right to bargain for extra support erodes at their enthusiasm to carry out a public mission.
We have people who have to live with many roommates or don't have enough money to get groceries.
She says at UW-Madison, her union is in the midst of a major campaign citing the need for paid leave benefits. As for the lawsuit, it was filed after the Wisconsin Supreme Court flipped to a liberal majority. But legal analysts say it could take some time for it to reach the high court and there's the possibility the newest liberal justice would recuse herself from the case. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 45 this afternoon, under cloudy skies, southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, slight chance for scattered showers, 29. Highs around 33 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up? This
is a pre-recorded, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. How you doing, Calvin?
I'm doing okay, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. I feel pretty good this morning, man. I got some, for whatever reason, man, you know, I slept pretty good last night. You know, I was reading some stuff the other day about how the older you get, the more difficult it is for you to sleep. And, man, something about getting older, you know. But anyway. I got up this morning, man, and all I could do is think about what is happening in this nation and why there's so much division, you know, in this nation. And man, so I started thinking about the division, not Democrat or Republican, not black or white, not Jew or Gentile, not Christian, not Muslim, not male, not female. I thought about the division of ages, man. And so I started doing a little research on the breakdown of who the 325 million or so Americans really are. What is our makeup, demographical makeup? And I found a couple things that kind of astounded me, man. Do you know what the youngest generation is, man?
That would be, I think they're calling it Generation Alpha or something
like
that.
Yeah, man. Young people would know that. But I never knew anything about a Generation Alpha. But Generation Alpha is the youngest generation. They are, 10 years old, and from 2010 to 2023, there's about 2.8 million of them born every day. And so, you know, many of us, especially those of my generation, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Were you aware of a generation called Alpha? And once I started digging into the generations and what is going on in the society, it really is a breakdown of the generations, Calvin, and an issue that we from these different generations see the world through a different prism. We see this nation through a different prism. And while we're caught up in this Democrat-Republican foolishness, the real problem inside of our nation is generational. And it really is something that we need to address, myself included, because, you know, I'm a baby boomer and, you know, we walk around with our chest poked out. And, you know, because many of us, you know, are, you know, struggles for the most part economically are behind us. It doesn't mean we don't have issues. We deal with the same life issues that all the other generations do, the misery that happens when our hearts are broken, you know, through things that are out of our control. But I started looking at the different generations, and I'd love for you, the listening audience, to help me through this, because I think there's a lot in this that if we kind of looked at it differently, even in our own families, man, right? I mean, you look at your own children, and mine are Generation Xers. And so, you know, they don't see life the way I saw it. And they don't see life the way I see it. And to be quite frank with you, as a baby boomer, I didn't see life the way my parents did. And my parents were part of what's called a silent generation, those born 1925 to 1945. I didn't see life the way my parents saw it. But let's break down these generations, and then we can go from there. But I think it's important that we break down these generations. Now, I talked about the alphas, and, you know, most of us, the alphas really don't have any say in anything, Calvin. They're, you know, they're 10 years old. And so, you know, they get whatever we dish out to them. I'm just sorry. They don't vote. And so whatever we give them is what they're going to get. We are not preparing for the future of the alphas. Do you think as a nation, Calvin, we're preparing for the future of the alphas?
No, it definitely doesn't seem like it when you look at cuts to child care and that kind of thing.
I know, man. So they're not even thought of. As a matter of fact, I didn't know that there were alphas. Calvin knew. But most of us don't know a doggone thing about the alphas and their generation. For the most part, unfortunately, there's some of us who do care, those who are fighting to make sure climate change, you know, is under control. So these alphas have a fair shot at life. We don't want to leave them in a situation where the resources are all depleted. I mean, it would be a selfish and insensitive thing to do, but, oh, maybe we do. We are a selfish, insensitive lot, human beings. And so those young people who would be, what would they be? It would be great-great-great-grandchildren of the baby boomers, of the silent generation. Let's go down the list. So the silent generation, Calvin, 1925 to 1945, and so they would be 69 and above, well, 70 and above. They would be a part of the silent generation. There are 55 million of them still here. And so we don't talk much about them. We don't talk much about them because we act as if they're not there. We act as if their voices don't have any value, but this is how foolish all of this is. Why would you discount people with that kind of knowledge and life experience? That includes my generation, the baby boomers, who fails to understand and get the the life experience of those of the silent generation who've lived through it, man. You know, lived through World War II, lived through the Great Depression, and other things. They've lived through so many different hardships that, man, we shouldn't have to figure all this out. We can go and talk to people who are still here, who are still lucid, who can teach us and give us direction and guidance. Hey, man, at 69 years of age, I know how little I know. The older I get, the more I realize, man, there's so much I don't know, man. I can't walk around with my chest poked out talking about what I know. So, you know, you got somebody around in that age demographic who's still lucid. Man, you're talking about a gold mine. Man, stop wasting time. Time is short. You've got somebody in that age demographic, man, sit down at their feet and let them give you guidance on this thing called life, on this walk, on this planet. They've been through it, and they're still here. Again, that's the silent generation. Still 55 million of them are here. Next, the baby boomers. 76.4 million of us are baby boomers. We would be 59 years old to 69 years old, born 1955 to 1955 to 1964. That's the baby boomers. And so 76.4 million of us. And man, you know, we're feeling our muscles, as Popeye would say. Because, you know, even at my age of 69, I don't feel old. So if your health is still good, and you kind of figured some things out, and you've been around a little while, we walk around as if we have all the answers to all the problems in the world, my generation, when we don't. We clearly don't. We've been in leadership for a long time. My co-host on Tuesdays and Fridays, Sandy Williams, always talks about the selfishness of my generation. He's right about it. You know, look, our phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. You know, and I know many of you are in my generation. But we just having, Kevin, can a radio talk show host have a fireside chat? Or do you have to be a president to have a fireside chat? We're going to have a little fireside chat this morning. 844-967-2789 is the number. Your thoughts? Because we're going to go down the list and then we're going to delve into why we can fix this if we'll just listen to one another. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, 540 AM WAUK 1017 The Shaw.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Why choose Weichert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your Realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weichert-LakePoint.com. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
There's excitement surrounding Carroll University basketball this year. Head coach Lindsey Schultz and the Pioneer Women are fired up to deliver another winning season in the CCIW. You can catch all the action of every Carroll Women's home game right here. Join Don Brown as he takes you from tip-off through all the game excitement on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The first Noel, the angels did say, to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they keeping their sheep.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I'm talking about the generations and something that's not talked about and something that should be talked about. Because if we're looking at a way to fix what's wrong with our nation, it's got to be through conversations with the different generations. Somebody needs to grab us all by the hands and sit us down and lock us in the room and have us have this conversation and dialogue where we actually listen to one another. I do know that as a baby boomer, the generation that comes after me, Generation X, there were 55 million silent generation, 76.4 million baby boomers, Generation X, 65.2 million Generation X. They would be 43 to 58 years old, and they would be born 1965 to 1980. Now, that Generation X right now is, you know, moving into leadership across this nation in business, and the one place that is they're having difficulty somewhat is in politics, because my generation doesn't want to let go, especially on the national scene. But Generation X's, again, make up 65.2 million. They're 43 to 58 years old, 1965 to 1980. Strong-willed, many of them college-educated. And see life through a different prism than my generation did. You know, my generation clearly was more concerned about, you know, upward mobility, owning things, building, you know, a safety net for ourselves, acquiring as much wealth as we possibly could, building families. And so Generation X, on the other hand, they're certainly interested in, you know, success. You know, let me do this alone. 844-967-2789. Love to hear your thoughts on it. But I know Generation Xers. I told you I've got three sons that are Generation Xers. And life is different. It's a different world for them than it was for me and for my generation. And they've got to struggle and fight a little harder to be successful in this society than I did and my generation did, because the opportunities for them aren't as vast as they were for my generation. Just a fact. You know, you look around and again at 18 years of age, during my time, you know, guys, people made enough money to be living on their own without college degrees. At 18 years of age, I know I was one of them. And so you could start your life out early. It's not been the same for my son's generation. It's not. They didn't get the opportunities that we did. And I think part of it, they're kind of angry and frustrated, many of them, because they've had to put their lives on hold somewhat, especially many of them who went on to college and created a lot of debt and can't move forward quickly enough because of the way the society is structured now. That would be Generation X's. Many of them have not been able to start families. And, you know, because it's tough enough trying to take care of themselves. It's Generation X's. Next up is the millennials. They make up 72.4 million. They would be from 27 to 42 years old. They're born 1981 to 1996. And now, Calvin, that's a little bit before you.
Yep, I missed the cutoff by 2 years.
Yeah, you missed, but you can kind of understand.
Yeah, I kind of feel like being right at the very, very beginning of Gen Z, I kind of have a little bit of connection to the millennial generation, too.
Yeah, so you know millennials, right? You kind of hang out with some millennials.
Yeah.
Okay, so if, from your perspective, what do you see from millennials? Again, they're from 27 to 42. How are they seeing this life?
Well, a lot of the things that you said about Generation Xers also apply to millennials, and it's compounded and maybe even worse for them. Their debt from college is probably
more. No question.
Is more. That's the generation where the student loans really started to get out of control. They're the ones that are dealing with that probably the most significantly. And yeah, I know that. What you said about being unable to start families and provide for themselves. I know more and more millennials are moving back in with their parents and that kind of thing. So yeah, definitely feel and see the plight of the millennial generation.
Well, man, their lives have been put on hold, right? I mean, their lives have been put on hold, and so many are angry because, you know, they feel like nobody cares, right? Nobody's listening to their plight, and they think that it's whining. And you hear when President Biden attempted to address the issue, really many people, baby boomers and others, push back and say, hey, whoa, wait a minute. We pay for our student loans. And so we don't have any compassion or sympathy or empathy for them because they went ahead, they signed the letter, And so this is their debt that they accrued, not having empathy enough for them to know that the cost of education went through the roof for Generation Z and Generation X. It clearly was nowhere near that for my generation. People could go to college, get a four-year degree, man, and owe $8,000 if they owed that. 844-967-2789. We'll continue this drumbeat after we pay a few bills. Don't touch that dial. 844-967-2789. I can do it myself. I'm more than capable, but I'd love to have some buy-in. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Carroll University Basketball on the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You are tuned in to your place for catching men's and women's home basketball games all season long. These two great programs are proud to represent your university city and the state's oldest college.
Carroll University Basketball is brought to you locally by The Shaw, WAUK, and Civic Media. Now, here's Don Brown with all the action. Let's go, Pios!
I can hear it now.
Yeah.
So we can start?
Yep.
Okay. Welcome, one and all. Happy Saturday. Welcome to today's big card at the Van Nail Field House at Carroll University. This is your host, Downtown Donnie Baum, joined by Greg Triple G Wansnyder here. WAUK Radio, 101.1 FM, 540 AM, and try us on the Civic Media app. And we've got a humdinger today in this 2 o'clock match coming up as the Pioneer women's team hosts number 9, Milliken. That's number 9 in the country, a fellow CCIW rival. And so buckle up. It's going to be a great game. Milliken is 8-0, and they're currently on top of the CCIW with a 2-0 record. Carroll is 6-3, and they're in third place behind Illinois Wesleyan and, of course, Milliken with a 2-1 record in the CCIW. Pioneers have a one-win streak. Milliken, the Big Blue, of course, have a 8-game winning streak. So much on the line here. And Greg, it looks like a great matchup. Both these teams match up pretty nicely for what should be an exciting match. What are your thoughts, Greg?
Yeah, boy, I was just listening to your pregame there. And, boy, Lindsay Schultz and her team have her their work cut out for them, but you know, Schultz is the Carroll women's head coach. Definitely has some experience in these big
games. She sure does. Yep. And then her counterpart at Milliken, Olivia Lett, is in her sixth season with a 90-42 record, very respectable, and a 2012 graduate of Illinois Wesleyan, so a lot of CCIW experience. But we're going to crunch the numbers really quick. As you can imagine, that the top scorer and the key players for Carroll include Olivia Rangel, the junior from Franklin, who is 226 points away from her 1,000th point, and she's on track to become the scoring leader of Carroll women's basketball. She averages 16 points a game, 144 points for the year, and then Natalie Gricius behind her, she has 127 points total, and that's 14 points per game. And then you have, Natalie Gricius is just a sophomore. And then you have one of my favorites, Emily Wisner, another sophomore, a 5'8 guard. She's averaging 12 points a game and has 116 points per year. And then they are trailed by Lauren Psyche and Natalie Paulskill, who averaged 7.3 and 5.6 points per game, respectively. And so there's good point distribution here for the Pioneers, I believe. Now, when you look at number 9, Milliken, the name, the person to watch out for is number 22, and I love this name, Elsie Knudsen, a 5'8 senior from Philo, Illinois, trying to figure out where Philo is, Tullano Unity High School. She's averaging 27.4 points per game. That's 219 points per total. She has 11 block shots, 22 steals, rebounds total, 40 total rebounds, 36 defensive rebounds. So a great all-around player, a very dangerous threat, even though she is only 5'8". And then following her in the point parade is number 32, Bailey Kaufman. And she's a graduate student, 6'4", from Hayworth, Illinois, Catholic Central High School. That says Central Catholic, excuse me. She's averaging 17.3 points per game, so big drop-off there, but still a great player. She has 11 steals for the year, 4 block shots. She's got 15 assists. Oh, and yeah, by the way, Elise Knutson has 21 assists, so a very unselfish team that really creates a lot of scoring opportunities. And her rebounds for the year are 39. So, and then the number 3 player, is Sophie Dart at number 24, who's a senior from Chanahan, Illinois, Monica High School, a freshman guard, 5'9". And she gives you 11 points per game, along with 4 rebounds per game, 5 assists, has 13 steals. And here in the three-point category, Knutson has a 474 shooting percentage, while Kaufman has a 667 shooting percentage. With the Pioneers, you've got 6 or 7 players that are over 333 on their three-point shooting percentage, so that could be a factor for the Piles if they're hot from the perimeter. But as you know, Greg, I believe the game's won in the trenches, so
yeah.
How our young Pioneers will do against the team. I'm looking at the tallest player for Milliken, and she's 6'2". She's a center. She doesn't have a jersey number, according to this. So we match up okay on the height department. And then we have, where is she hiding? Oh, yes, Allison Thompson, 6'4". She'll be the tallest player on the court. And she's still on her way to a shot block record, I believe. Let's see where she's at currently. 10 block shots for the year.
That's incredible.
So, yeah.
Ten
yeah. And she's
shots.
Off the bench, too. So,
yeah.
Very dangerous player. So, and it's a rainy day outside, but the temperatures are pretty agreeable for this time of year. And, we are about 12 minutes away from the tip-off. So I think now will be a good time. We'll take a quick one-minute break here on the Waukesha Sports Radio Network here at WAUK 101.1 FM 540 AM, The Shaw. Anya, take it away, please.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Wisconsin needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
This is WAUK 101.1 FM, 540 AM, The Shaw. Welcome back to Van Mail Fieldhouse. Don Brown with Triple G as we await the start of the Carroll Women's taking on number 9, Milliken. Number 9 in the nation, number 1 in the CCIW. Greg, sorry, I cut you off there.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say the Big Blue coming out with their own team bus here, which is neither big nor blue, just kind of found that interesting. It's
do they have a name for the bus, like old blue or something like that?
I don't know, maybe we should come up with
sure
with a name for the bus.
Yeah definitely.
So but no, if you've heard the name of Big Blue before, you recall Carroll University played Milliken University in NCAA Division III football this year. I believe that was a home game.
It was. Right? We called it. Yep. You were there.
Yep. I was there. So, I think we won that one, Don.
We did. We won. Yeah, that was a convincing win. It was the last win of the season for the Pios, winning 40-0. And, that was a great win for the Pioneer men's team. And but, you know, that Milliken football currently kind of a bottom dweller in the CCIW. I'm not even sure if they'd won a single game that year. Whereas your Milliken women's basketball team, an entirely different story. One of the toasts of the nation, if you will. And Millikan has that same logo type M that University of Michigan has, or for any of you Gil Thorpe fans have, that the Milford High School Mudlarks have. And I was a huge Gil Thorpe fan growing up, so I envision that I'm watching Millikan in black and white, like in Gil Thorpe. And what I always thought was cool in their football and their basketball jerseys, it was just that big M. And I think a number might have been off to the corner, but it was definitely on the back of the jersey. And I always thought that would make a cool collegiate jersey or uniform. So I would encourage the Big Blue to do the same in honor of Gil Thorpe.
There you go. So there you go.
I wonder, there's got to be a good, I mean, it's an easy nickname to come by if your colors are blue and it's Big Blue. But I bet there's a little more history to that, maybe relating to the Civil War and Illinois' part in it, especially as you go further south there. I imagine there were quite a few families and communities more sympathetic to the South and states' rights. And so Big Blue, you know, may have been a calling card or a promotion for the Union Army and what we believe in the North, the American way of life.
Yeah.
So,
Don, you mentioned the officials.
Yeah, I'm trying to find some names,
On the court.
It's a young lady and two gentlemen. Actually, it might be two ladies here, but they look younger, which is encouraging because it's been a big crisis in high school football. You've got, I think, you'll find very few officials under the age of 60, it seems like. And those guys keep in great shape running up and down the court.
Yeah, they do.
But, yep, I don't have officials listed, but, Greg, I know your ears are very keen, so I'm sure the public address will announce today's officials. So
yes.
We'll look for that. So we get a good glimpse of Athletic Director Mike Shulis, who's walked by, and he's greeting some of the alumni, it looks like. Sitting in the front row here. Yeah, we're right next to the Jack Nicholson seats here. So.
Yeah. Are both teams still warming up out here, John?
Well, Carroll went back into the locker room. They finished their warm-up, and now the Big Blue they've returned, and they're kind of doing their last-minute warm-up before they do the formal call-out of the teams from the locker room and get the fans all jazzed up. And then we'll have, of course, you know, national anthem and starting lineups being announced. The unofficial, or say the projected starters for Carroll will be Olivia Rangel, no surprise, the team's leading scorer, the junior guard, who wears number 23 from Franklin, averaging, again, 16 points per game, 4.8 rebounds and 3.9 assists. She is joined by number 32, Emily Wisner, Wiz Wisner, the sophomore from Germantown, averaging 12.9 points per game, 2.4 rebounds, and 1.7 assists. And then one of the two upperclass women, Natalie Paulskill, the junior guard, number 22, also from Germantown. She averages 5.6 points a game, 4.6 rebounds, 3.6 assists, and plays a real killer style of defense. I really enjoy watching Natalie play. And then the lone senior, Lauren Psyche, here from Milwaukee, and I believe Lauren went to Tosa West. And, no, Nicolay, I stand corrected, Nicolay. So, Lauren gives us 7.3 points per game, 4.3 rebounds, and 2.7 assists. And then, rounding out the lineup, the number 33, the sophomore from Janesville, Natalie Grisius, averaging 14.1 points per game, 4.6 rebounds, and 1.2 assists. So, a very young lineup, and, as you know, Coach Schultz goes deep into the lineup.
Yes, she does.
So you're going to
see. So does Milligan.
Yeah. So
We should see both benches fairly early in this game, Don. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and you'll see, like, they get a lot, as many minutes as some of the starters. It's really the only starter that you'll see most of the game. She averages 32 minutes a game, is Olivia Rangel. Who she leads the point guard duties, but that role is also shared among the other guards on the team. You'll see Chloe Halverson out there, Anna Nielsen. Who else? They may see some time from freshman Casey Kratz and Katie Barger. We'll see what Oh, actually, no, I'm sorry. Ryan Wendt, the sophomore from Downers Grove, she gets a lot of time in the guard duties, and she brings it up the floor when she's in quite often. So that's an important thing, too, when you have more than one point guard to take on that role, that lead role for the Pioneer offense. So I'm really looking forward to getting to know the Milliken team better. When a team's ranked number 9 and they're undefeated, you even this early in the season, that's not an easy thing to do. And I'm sure Milliken has, they've stacked the non-conference schedule with some tough teams to get them ready for CCIW play. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what this Milliken team to do. And, of course, I'm also looking forward and hoping that the Carroll Pioneers team have a real strong answer and not only make a show of this, but maybe come out on top on the final ledger there in the scoreboard.
Yeah, you kind of wonder sometimes, you know, mentally in a game like this, okay, you're a Milliken player, you're 8-0. Are you thinking in your mind, Don, at all, oh, we're just going to roll these guys, you know, over? I'm sure that's not what the coaches are preaching, but
no,
as a player,
you want to come to dance and you want to play like, yeah, you want to crush, but you want also. I think we're back. Yeah, sorry about that. So, having some technical difficulties, and I was just about to answer Greg's question, and, you know, one of the big things is that Carroll's Van Mail Fieldhouse has earned a reputation as one of the toughest places to play in the country. Pioneers are 24-4 in the last 28 games at Van Mail, including 3-1 this season. So, half of those losses, though, during that span have been to Milliken. So, Anya, if you're there, can you hear me? Our producer,
can hear
Anya,
you.
Back
can
at
you
the.
Hear me?
Okay, great. Thanks, Anastasia. Yeah, you know, similar to what happened before the pregame, something just kind of crapped out, but we were able to reboot. So, we appreciate everyone's patience as we fight through this. But hopefully, knock on wood, we'll be good to go as we get closer to game time. And, Anya, if you would, I think now would be a good time to do station identification here on the Waukesha Sports Radio Network on 101.1 FM, 540 AM. Anya, take it away, please.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
We're back at Ted H. Baker Court here inside the Van Mail House, Triple G, along with my friend.
Okay, we're back. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Anya, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Great. We're announcing the starting lineups for the Pios. And we'll announce them. We just finished the national anthem, so if there was a time for a technical breakdown, that was it. So I'm Don Brown here in WAUK, joined by Greg Wansnyder, Triple G. And as we await both teams to come out of their huddles.
Yeah, there's a significant number of Carroll alumni here today.
Yep.
I just talked with the Carroll's president, Cindy Nattinger.
Yep. So real quick, starting lineup, we got Bailey Kaufman, number 32. Elise Knudsen, number 22. Number 24, Sophie Darden.